Okay, well, so Jay, we had to click record then because we were getting into such a great conversation once again that I thought it was about time we click record and actually captured some of it. So officially, here we are at the Channel Agency, another channel drop in. Jay, this is your hat trick. Thank you so much again for joining us third time, a year in. In fact, it was just about 11 and a bit months ago when you first joined and was the launch pad and helped to launch the channel drop in. So thank you for that. We did one towards the end of last year, and then of course this is number three. So big thank you. What's happening? What's it like out there? Where are we? We're a year in, and maybe we didn't think we would be here, but we are. So so yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, well, first of all, as a Canadian, thank you for saying hat trick. Yes. You're speaking my language, and yeah. You know, we're soon going to be talking about where the puck is going to be. So we'll use Canadian.
We've done hockey stick.
Here, so you know, when we kicked this off last year, you know, we were in the first week or so of the pandemic and the shutdown, and we were starting to discuss, you know, the changes of remote topology and things like that. When we talked again later in the year, you know, a lot of the trends that we were seeing around ecosystem, around subscription and consumption models, you know, the marketplaces had grown more in the first 3 months than the last 10 years combined. And what did that mean for the channel? We were looking at embedded and white labeled models. We started talking about this multiplier effect. And, you know, these trains were put on the track and they started to pick up speed, where every morning I wake up, you know, almost with a damage report, you know, kind of mechanism, trying to figure out, you know, every day there's changes that are happening and accelerating in these areas. So when we talked about ecosystem, you know, I talked about the importance of that early customer journey and how there's five partners involved and you need those non-transacting partners as part of your channel. Well, guess what? Last week, Google got privacy religion. A company that was half built on tracking you and having you as the product on the internet is now sticking with Apple as the bellwether of the future where you can be truly anonymous. Mm-hmm. And now Apple last week updated their latest iOS beta. Yeah. In other words, all of our iPhones are just about to be updated, allowing us to truly be anonymous on the internet. No cookies, no tracking, no targeting, no geolocation, nothing. Yeah. Where you look at that MarTech stack with 8,000 logos on it, half of it got neutered as of last week. There's no data. Yeah. The only way you're going to get access to your early customer and what they're reading, where they go, who they follow, and the majority of them who make decisions based on never talking to a salesperson and never filling out a marketing form with the right information, the only way you're going to get access to that early journey is through your ecosystem. And this is 7 days old in terms of this monumental change. Ad tech, MarTech, all of those industries are on fire right now trying to figure out what this all means. Yeah. And this plays into our...
It does. It does. So has this come full circle, or are we starting a new circle? Because, you know, we used to be relatively anonymous, right? And then we became entirely known to absolutely everyone. Our footprint was everywhere and we could be found all the time. And we kind of thought that was great. But now, are we coming out of that? And have we started a new cycle of anonymity, of silence, of quiet, and of potentially new opportunity as a result?
Well, I think it's new because it aligns as well to a new buyer.
Yeah.
You know, we know 4 to 5 years from now that your buyer, your customer's buyer, is going to be a millennial. We know that there's a different psychology. We know that there's different behaviors. We know that there's now a new customer journey that never ends. Mm-hmm. In a subscription retention renewal world, it gets renewed every 30 days forever, where 76% of CEOs are moving into this ecosystem mode and subscription level mode, and obviously marketplace mode, of this customer journey that's being elongated. And the early part of that journey is now all about the ecosystem, is all about these influence style partners, affinity, affiliates, advocates, ambassadors, alliances. I mean, there's dozens of business models up front that we used to pay attention to in the consumer world, where all the consumer tech companies who helped you with, you know, Kim Kardashian Instagram ads are now building out their B2B attribution software to help you in this space. So, you know, since we talked, Impact raised $75 million, Partnerized raised $50 million. Awin, there's companies that are busy at work helping you build out the tech stack underneath the actual business outcome, the attribution you're going to need to build out this ecosystem and measure their efficacy and efficiency at driving business for you.
So what does that mean? What does that look like for partners? Whose responsibility is it to drive the agility, to drive the adaptation, to drive what comes next? Is it the vendors that are saying, guys, you need to transform here because we're transforming? Or is it the partners saying, guys, you need to transform here because we're transforming?
Yeah, every time a vendor thinks their partners need to transform and go and spend millions of dollars educating and onboarding and doing all that, it works 10 to 20% of the time.
Yeah.
So what vendors are now looking at is this broader Venn diagram over my shoulder of millions of partners coming in. There are already companies that number in the millions that are highly influential in front of your buyer that didn't set up their companies as reset, that didn't set up their companies as a transactional style company. So the only difference now between a channel and an ecosystem is transactional versus non-transactional. On one side, you're going to measure them by revenue and profit and deal reg and customer sat and traditional KPIs. On the other side, you're going to attribute their benefit to your organization. So you have a stack rank list of who are the most influential and the best, you know, cost for investment, but you're going to track them differently. Your KPIs are going to look like value creation, 1 + 1 = 3 in front of the client, network effects, getting into new markets, buyers, sub-industries, geography, sector, segments, size, new product areas that you would have never got to without that partner. That's
sweet. So are we talking about
innovation?
Go on.
Yeah. You know, 1 + 1 = 10 when you create a new software product together, when you create a no code, low code, when you create a bot, when you create some Internet of Things device, whatever it is, when you create new innovation, a new invention, that's a revenue share. That's a new co-innovation element of ecosystems that channel professionals have never been asked to or even have the skills today to manage at scale.
Yeah. So are we talking about collaboration in focus or in specialism? Or are we talking about vendors needing to provide a much more fluid and flexible and potentially hybrid approach to say, look, this is a, you know, it's a catch-all. Maybe we've got a catch-all program, and if you're this type of partner, we can go down that road. If you're this type of partner, we can track down that road. But actually, we've got secret type of partner over here, which is potentially nondescript. But if you're specializing, what you do is you feed into this bit or you feed into that bit, and we support the fact that you can collaborate in order to create.
Yeah, what I tell people is, you know, create a spectrum either physically or in your mind of a quadrant. You know, on one level, you have transacting versus non-transacting, and it isn't binary. While a company like Accenture doesn't like to collect customers' money and look like they're biased in any way, there are certain examples of where they do play a resell model if it benefits the customer. So it's not binary whether you sell or don't sell. The fact is there's some types of partners like system integrators that are more non-transactional by nature. ISVs, in the way that they're invested, their valuations, what their boards are telling them, is they don't want to be transactional because transactional revenue to them looks horrible on their balance sheet, on their P&L. So they want to be non-transacting, but it's not going to be 100% of cases. So start aligning the 16 different kinds of partners you can have across a spectrum of where they're, you know, to the right or to the left. The other part of the quadrant, which would be the vertical axis, would be the traditional versus non-traditional partnerships.
Yeah.
You know, the non-traditional of getting that influence, that early influence, getting that late after the initial transaction, which in a subscription model is only the first 30 days with the customer. Now you focus on adoption, which gets retention. You focus on integrations and stickiness, which gets renewals. You focus on getting upsell and cross-sell every 30 days forever. That's a different model than the gold, silver, bronze program you've ran for decades. So if you start to think about your channel, I called it last time we talked, the trifurcating model. Before the point of vendor selection, from the point of vendor selection to the transaction, the initial transaction, and then post-transaction or the retention, the lifetime value of that customer, and all of the partners that overlay onto that customer journey, the five of them up front, the ones, and it could be marketplace, it could be product-led growth, it could be direct-to-consumer, it could be e-commerce. I mean, there's so many different routes to market now in terms of what the customer and how they want to spend their money in the middle. And then long-term, who are those partners surrounding that customer, making you sticky, getting you adopted, and obviously enriching your contract every 30 days forever. This is a different way of thinking about a linear channel, which is now a celestial channel.
Yeah, absolutely. And over your shoulder, we see 183 tech companies in the 2021 tech stack that are, for the most part, established, but a growing number of emerging. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who is winning? Where are the front runners? And are we still yet to see the eventual winners?
Yeah, we know that there's going to be winners, and it takes about a decade. So 20 years ago, Salesforce.com got their start. The sales stack got its start. We know the five winners today, the Dynamics, the Sugar, the companies that came out of that as winners. You know, 10 years ago, almost today, the MarTech stack started. And then we started to see, you know, Eloqua get acquired by Oracle. We saw Pardot get acquired by Salesforce. We saw Marketo get acquired by Adobe. Yeah. We've seen HubSpot, you know, hit a home run. They just came out with their multiplier number yesterday. We've seen, you know, Acton pick up their piece of the business. But here's five winners. There was 150 marketing automation companies a decade ago, and there's five winners. There was 350 CRM winners, or sorry, 350 players two decades ago, and there's five winners, with Salesforce being the far and away winner. And then today we have 183 companies that most people won't recognize almost all of the logos, other than maybe Salesforce and Oracle. There's a couple of logos on there you'll recognize. But I'll say 10 years from now, when these companies either go public or get acquired by the Oracles and Salesforces and Adobes of the world, you'll recognize them. Your kids will recognize them. And there's going to be about five winners. Yeah. The place that I'm watching the most is in the bottom right-hand corner, which is the ecosystem management. And I'm doing a piece of research right now, building out the six categories of ecosystem tech, from attribution to data matching to account mapping to API management to marketplace building to all these different elements that are going to be critical for the next decade, and who the winners are going to be. And I'm watching today the triple digit growing companies that are absolutely bringing in tens of millions of dollar PE private equity kind of investments right now, and seeing what they're building in the next 18 months. And it's some fascinating stuff happening on the tech stack right now.
Are we potentially saying a decade from now that 183 is going to be heavily reduced, and actually what we're going to see is we're going to see winners that have ecosystems within their own ecosystem that might be contributing to separate parts? So rather than have 183 go to 283 to 383, we might have it reduced to 83, but actually the ecosystem within the ecosystem is the bit that succeeds.
Yeah, so here's the trick, is none of those companies go away. They're all software companies, they're all finding customers, they're all growing. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you look at the 350 CRM companies from 20 years ago, they're all sitting on the AppExchange today, where Salesforce is the winning platform, and they're solving big problems, you know, above or paving the last mile from Salesforce to the client. In marketing automation, those 150 companies never went away. They sit in Marketo, or they sit in HubSpot's ecosystem, and they pave that last mile to the customer. And so today, the 183 companies, the five winners, the other ones aren't going away.
Yeah.
They're going to go and participate. And because the channel is such a big thing, with over 100 elements to the program, all of the processes and workflows, all of the people elements, and obviously the other technology elements, there's going to be a lot to do. So these companies are just going to become platform players, and they're going to sit on the marketplace of the five winners.
So does the future look like winning by potentially being able to simplify. So to make it easier to understand, to make it easier for partners to know where they fit and how best to succeed. And who enables that? Is it the vendor or is it the partner just, or does the partner just have to kind of suck it up and get on with it or die? You know, is it that?
Yeah. So from a vendor perspective and from a partner perspective, it is partner experience.
Yeah.
How you throw up those pixels, because a channel is just inherently complex. And there's no way a technology vendor in the channel is going to make it simpler because it's getting more complex. An ecosystem on average is 10 times larger than a channel. When you add in the influence, when you add in this long term, when you add in all this attribution, all these other six things I just said you need in an ecosystem, that's not making it any easier. But there's a front end to this where I want to go have an Amazon experience.
Yep.
I want to go have a Netflix experience. I want to go have a consumer-like experience with beautiful pixels, beautiful flow, and I can't tell if I'm moving from onboarding to incentives to co-marketing and TCMA through channel marketing. I can't tell within the portal that I'm actually moving between applications. It just seems seamless. They all talk to each other. They all work with each other. They all generate data about me that makes it more beneficial. And the company that does that the best, rather than just logging into a portal and seeing that there's 17 applications that are inside that one application and just change, you can see when you're changing, your screen changes in front of you as you move from, you know, Cornerstone to a incentives engine and other things. You know, how you bring all that together and how you present it in a seamless way is going to be the winning PX strategy for the next decade.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally get that because, if we are able, we vendors, whoever they may be, are able to deal with the complexity in the back end so that the PX on the front end is as simple as possible, that's where the win exists. Because if we continue to overcomplicate unnecessarily for partners, they'll switch off and go elsewhere.
Yeah.
I think that's a brilliant place to stop. Jay, I mean, just fascinating as ever. Great insight. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. It has been a hat trick. I think that's definitely a good score. And I look forward to the next time we speak, which I believe is going to be soon. So best wishes to you over there in the Sunshine State. Hope everything is well, family and all those other things. Best wishes. Stay safe. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.